The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, owner, and with my husband, fellow realtor.
Pat Devaney, that's right, that's me.
My assistant.
Oh, God, I got a promotion.
Mm-hmm. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many full-time realtors. We've been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years. We are the proud recipient of the Quality Service Award from Century 21 for the years 2010 and 2011 during the week.
Feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Search the MLS or view our listings by going to jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com, where we also have archive radio shows. All our shows since since July 2010. And we also have video there. Check out our realtors by clicking on our YouTube videos. And I set up a new Facebook page for the Real Estate Roundtable. Don't forget the word the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy. So today we're going to talk about everything regarding wells. We have Doug Ide here, co-owner of Willis Ide and Son from Dallas, Lehman Township.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you today?
Very well. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for being here with us and agreeing to come in to talk to us about water systems and wells. Can you give me a little bit of background on you, your company, how long you've been doing this, how long the company's been in business, please?
My grandfather started the company in 1952. My father took over in 1987. I started with my grandfather at age 14, and I took over from my father in 2010.
Long history there.
Been around a little while.
Yeah, I guess so.
It goes deep, huh? Oh, man.
No pun intended.
All right, sorry. I've never heard that one before.
Okay. And your contact information, please. How do we get a hold of you during the week?
Either the office phone, which is 570-675-8212, or our website at willisideandson.com.
Willis
Ide and Son. All one word, all spelled out, .com.
And it's I-D-E.
Yes, ma'am.
And Son. Okay, great. Now, talking about wells, where do we start?
Probably with the drilling.
All right, let's talk about drilling. Are all wells the same? Are all the depths of wells the same? What can we...
They vary greatly. Average well, when I started with my grandfather, was probably 150 to 200 feet. Our average well depth now is more... 400 to 500 feet as an average well, and we have wells as deep as 1,400 feet.
Holy cow. Why?
Water.
Oh, all, yeah. Okay.
All our water comes through cracks in the rock strata.
So do you have certain areas that are 1,300 feet, or is it the way that the land is graded or slopes, or what's the difference?
I would say it's the rock strata itself, very hard conglomerate rock, does not break apart easily and allow water to travel through it. Mountaintops are fairly deep. Cliff faces, anything, it's common sense.
Right, I would think.
Close to swamps, close to recharge points, they're fairly shallow. There's a lot of water in the rock there. Mm-hmm. When a well is constructed, you drill down through what's called the overburden, which is your topsoil, your sand and gravel, till you hit solid bedrock. Once you get into solid bedrock, then you drive that steel casing, which is, for a residential well, would be 6-inch schedule 40 steel with an extra heavy coupling on the bottom, and the well driller drives that straight into the bedrock for several feet to secure your well against groundwater infiltration. After that, they drill down through the rock and gather up water. However many feet he has to go to get the targeted gallons per minute needed for the home, they drill for that.
So why is it so much deeper than it used to be?
Water table's dropping.
Oh, that's what I was...
We have a much greater population density than we ever had. We also have a predominance of sewers rather than septics. Now, all of that water comes out of the ground and then down to the Chesapeake rather than out of the ground and then back into the local area.
No, it's not soaking back into the ground.
It's not soaking back into the ground. And we have a lot more people using a lot more water than we ever used to. In your line of work, I'm certain you've seen that. All the farms used to be 40 or 50 acres. Now it's the little farmhouse in the middle of a development.
Right. Right. So the more land has been developed and used and...
Absolutely.
So that makes a difference. We wouldn't have thought about that. So then when you have all these different components, and you drill the well, and you go down as deep as you can till you hit the water,
mm-hmm.
and then you're putting in the casing?
That's part of the well construction process. That's the first thing that happens. They drill through the overburden, they set the casing, and then they drill for water. Once they've found water and have what they consider enough water, then... The water systems contractor comes in, which is us. We come in and size the pump not only to the house and the draw of the house, but to the well and to production of the well.
Okay.
It makes no sense for a well that produces 10 gallons a minute to put a 30 gallon a minute pump in the well. You have to size the pump to the well, and then we size the interior portion to the demand of the house.
So that's what I was about to ask you. How do you determine it's based on square footage?
Demand.
How much these people would
think. How many bedrooms or how many bathrooms?
How many bathrooms. If there's known landscape irrigation already planned. If there's the predominant problem with our field right now are the monster showers with the 47 body sprays that take 40 gallons a minute and a pump and a well that nominally produce 8 to 10. The average home only uses 8.4 gallons per minute. At any one peak time, except for that specific instance anymore.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here with us today is Doug Ide, co-owner of Willis Ide and Son Water System Contractors from Dallas, Lehman Township. What I was thinking about in terms of lifestyles change. If you have young kids, if you have older kids that like to shower three times a day and wash every, five different outfits.
Absolutely.
Every day. Things change. They go off to college. You're not using all that water. There's a lot of after the fact when people build homes, they have maybe 2 to 5 years, maybe put in a swimming pool or do an underground sprinkler system or something like that. So the demands for water change. So how do you figure that out?
The demands for water change, but the production of the well doesn't.
Okay.
That's a constant.
Okay.
It may fluctuate a little bit here or there. You can definitely hurt a well by overpumping it.
Mm-hmm.
Hydraulic pressure keeps the vein of water open in the middle of a drought, and your teenage son decides he wants to wash the car 5 times a day and runs the well dry, that hydraulic pressure loses, dissipates, and that strata closes and never reopens. You can hurt your well, but generally speaking, it only fluctuates a little bit. So if your supply is fairly constant, the only thing that really changes on the inside of the house is your storage. Just from the water treatment end of things, it's a fairly well-known fact that no matter how large the house is, a normal single family dwelling uses no more than 8.4 gallons a minute at any one.
So that's your guideline.
That's my guideline. Okay. Irrigation is always fluctuating, but there's some really interesting pump systems out there now. If you have enough water, we can really, really tweak things in and dial it right in with constant pressure systems that. The pump only turns as fast as it needs to maintain a certain pressure in the home. And I'm certain you've all experienced when someone flushes the toilet and you decide to get scalded or frozen. This kind of system takes care of that. It ramps up the production of the pump to maintain a constant pressure no matter what the usage is.
Okay, so how about you touched on water pressure, which to me... It's so important. Water pressure is one of the most important things. So with a well, do you lose that?
Not necessarily. A lot of what you consider pressure is more volume, especially in a shower. Water pressure on a community water system, on public water, generally runs anywhere from 40, which is the minimum allowed, up to 75 PSI. At 75 PSI, we have to put a pressure reducer valve on that. I can make any water system, any well water system, hit 75 PSI without blinking.
Okay, that's good to know. Because we had to change our main, because we were on a public water and a public sewer, so we had to change what was coming into the house.
Just yeah, we had to put the reducer on because we had so much pressure coming in, and the plumber says it's going to be blowing your fixtures apart. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, he put the reducer on, and he cranked it down, and we have great water pressure. Now I'm going to go home. There won't be any water pressure now that I said that, but that's okay.
Well, we did get that call last week. PA American
Water.
Oh,
yeah. Your water will be turned off. You don't get that problem, right?
No, sir.
And you don't get the water bill either.
No, sir. Average life of a well system is 10 to 15 years.
That's nice.
But the cost is drilling and putting it in. That's the initial cost. It's initial, right. Okay, well, we're headed towards a break. We can talk about all this in the second part. Before we go to break, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath home that's on a corner lot in Dunmore. That's 602 East Warren Street in Dunmore for $119,000. It has a lot of natural woodwork on the first floor. It has a first floor laundry. I'm sure they have enough water to keep the laundry going. The roof and gutters were replaced 4 years ago. The house was recently repainted. It has new replacement windows, a great layout, nice fenced in yard with a one-car garage and off-street parking. So if you're looking for a home in Dunmore, give us a call about 602 East Warren Street. That's a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath home for $119,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Speaking of Jason Thomas, we have excellent news. He is the recipient of the Rookie of the Year Award from the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors for the year 2011. In his first full year of real estate, which was 2011, he listed 26 properties for a total listing volume of $2,830,000. He successfully sold and closed on 31 properties in the amount of $2,581,000. We're very proud. We're very happy that he was given the Rookie of the Year Award. He's so devoted. He's seriously motivated, and he's very passionate about what he does.
Yes, and he's quite a character.
Before we go to the break, I'd like to go over the residential sales and how they're selling, how the financing is falling into place. And this is from the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list information. From April 1st to the end of May, we've had 272 single-family homes sold. And how does it break down? 85 were cash. 8 were Veteran Administration loans, VA loans. 4 were rural housing loans, 58 were Federal Housing Administration loans at the FHA, and 115 were conventional loans, and conventional loans are the ones that are not insured or backed by the government. And on the multifamily solds for that time frame from April 1st to the end of May, 35 multifamily dwellings sold, 22 were cash, 1 was FHA, and 11 were conventional financing. It's break time, so we will be back in a bit with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. You're joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ready, broker, and with my husband, Val Realtor.
Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. And we have a very special guest, Doug Ide from Willis Ide & Son out of Dallas, Lehman Township. We're talking about water systems and wells today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am.
And before the break, we were talking about depths of wells, and they can range from anywhere 150 to 200 feet all the way up to 1,300.
Yes.
Okay. We talked about sometimes, well, water pressure.
Yes.
And how water pressure is not compromised because of a well system.
No.
Correct? Okay, good. I was listening. And, you know, you don't always know when you go to a property how far you're going to drill until you actually start drilling, correct?
Absolutely. It varies greatly.
Okay.
There's quite a few instances where neighbors have several hundred feet difference between their wells. Our own office is a perfect case. Our neighbors on either side of us are 200 to 300 feet deep, and our well is 525 feet deep.
You just don't know.
And our wells are only 300 feet apart, distance wise.
Okay.
But the depth varies greatly. You're looking for water. You're drilling for water, and you have no idea which way the cracks in the rock run.
Until you start drilling.
Until you start to drill.
Okay.
Right there in Lehman, there's the mobile home park in the middle of a problem with the gas station many years ago. We were required to drill a well in the middle of the park, and we were told to drill in a certain spot, and that well went 1,000 feet deep and was dry.
Wow.
That's dry as in we had seepage. We had less than a quart of water a minute coming into the well. There was a second spot picked, and the well went 150 feet and had 79 gallons a minute, and you can throw a stone between the two locations.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you never know.
No, amazing.
So there really is no rule of thumb.
Okay. Now, what happens if a well runs dry? What do you do?
That would depend on the age of the well and the depth of the well. 9 times out of 10, you're drilling a new well.
My well care hotline fax says, I have no water. What should I do? And it says, first check the power source to see if a fuse is blown or breaker is tripped. Can it be that easy?
If the pump is already installed, absolutely. Absolutely.
The question,
as I understood it, was if your well ran dry,
right,
then you either hydrofrack the well, which is you fill your well with water, and then you put high-pressure air to that, about 3,000 PSI, and try and open cracks in the rock and gain more water, or you drill a new well. If it's a case of you're the homeowner and you wake up one morning, which is most calls that we get, I brushed my teeth this morning and the water was fine. I came home from work and I have no water. That can most likely be a mechanical problem with the water system itself rather than the well.
So you would know. The professional would know.
Absolutely.
First thing you do is you check and make sure it's plugged in, right?
First thing to do is check your circuit breaker.
Check your breaker.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So is there anything that you do as the well system contractor professional to individualize certain wells? And what I mean by that is if you know, there was something that we talked on break about where you can do certain things if you don't want to drill all, you know, so far down.
Definitely every case is individualized. If you have a high flow rate, you can do certain things with the pump system to capture all of that water. If you happen to be in an instance with a very low yield well but a high static water table, we can drill several hundred feet of well and use the well itself as a reservoir, so that 2 gallons a minute or 1 gallon a minute can suffice for the house. If you have a standing reservoir in the well, for every 1 foot of well, you hold 1.48 gallons of water. So if you have several hundred feet of reservoir, you have several hundred gallons of capacity that you can use with even only 1 gallon a minute coming into the well. 1 gallon a minute over 24 hours is a lot of water.
Okay. Now, what are we talking about in terms of cost of wells? If you're drilling a 200, obviously it's going to be a lot different when you're going 200 feet down than 1,300 feet down. So if you can give me a ballpark, please.
Most wells go between 9 and 10, 1050 a foot to drill. Steel casing is generally going for $18 a foot, somewhere in that range. Steel prices are fluctuating rapidly.
Hard to keep up.
The prices change by the day.
Okay.
There's an extra heavy drive shoe that's used to seat the casing into the bedrock. You've got a sanitary well seal or well cap on top.
Sounds like it's adding up quick.
Adds up very quickly.
Sounds like it's adding up real
very
fast.
Quickly. Casing is your biggest cost factor.
Right now.
If you have a normal well in our area, generally runs 40 to 60 feet of casing. That's an average cost that you can count on. There are instances of a 300-foot well with 150 feet of casing in it. Those wells are astronomically more expensive than a 300-foot well with 40 feet of casing.
Sure. So it's
by the foot. The well is drilled by the foot. It's the water system, as a general rule of thumb, on a brand new virgin piece of ground, building a home, and no water supply at all existing. When you drill the well, whatever your well runs you, you can pretty much bet on doubling it to include the water system and the trenching and the pump and the water tank. Getting water to a main valve is generally the same again as the cost of the well.
So the cost is on, with well water, it's the cost of drilling in the initial setup.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because you don't have a water fee per se, like a
Absolutely
public system
not.
Like we get.
You
in.
Have a small amount of electricity used to generate the water for the pump, to run the pump, and the way the industry is going, everything is about energy savings anymore.
Sure. And there's appliances that are being made.
Absolutely.
For that.
And okay. That translates into the water field.
Okay.
Into the water industry.
And we'll talk about that. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And there's also maintenance fees, testing. How often should somebody test their water?
Testing as far as safety issues, bacteria, Bacti tests. You're very, very familiar with those.
Sure.
In your industry.
Mm-hmm.
Bacteria samples, they should generally on average be taken every year to every 2 years.
Okay.
Just to double check the integrity of your well. If you're in a farming industry or farming area, I should say, I would definitely recommend a nitrate test, which is a contributing factor to the blueberry syndrome.
What is that?
Nitrate.
Well, I know the nitrates are what's used by the farmers to fertilize their fields, but that gets down into the water supply?
That can get down into the water supply, and it's a contributing factor to, it's called the blue baby syndrome, where the nitrates rob the oxygen out of the blood and the baby turns blue.
Oh, okay.
And it's quite a serious issue with infants, not so much with adults, but that's a standard test for the safety issue on a well. Is your Bacti and your nitrate. There are many secondary issues. Iron, hardness, pH of the water, aesthetics.
Radon.
Sometimes radon. That's more of a basement issue. Very rarely do we find radon in the water.
That's good to hear, because everything I read says if you find radon in the house, test the water.
Yeah. How often do you find methane in the water?
Fairly frequently, actually. We've had quite a few instances of methane in the water in our area.
That was before any of this drilling.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've abandoned wells because of methane as far back as 1960.
You tell me a story about the methane?
My grandfather had a very funny story about a woman that called him and said her well blew up. And he went to investigate and found that she was very partially right. She went to extinguished a match under her kitchen sink, and what she thought was a puff of air that came out was actually a puff of methane gas and burnt her eyebrows off.
And this was in the 1960s.
Absolutely.
That's a long time before any of that.
Long time ago.
Gas drilling.
Yes, sir.
Well, thinking, you know, about these tests and bacteria, so you think about you want to do this as a homeowner probably every yearly.
Yearly.
Okay. So in the generally the water in our area, am I correct in saying it's hard? Hard water?
Generally hard, generally acidic. Some iron, depending on the localized area, a lot of iron. Iron would be easily recognized by orange-brown staining of the fixtures. Your toilets would always have a nice ring of orange-brown.
Orange, okay.
That's iron. Acidic water is generally known by a blue-green staining, which is the cupric oxide of your water system. The plumbing dissolves the copper of the plumbing system, and when it evaporates in the sinks, it's left, that copper oxidizes and is left there as a blue-green staining.
Mm-hmm.
Hardness is the white calcification around your shower heads. Hardness tends to use a lot more soap. It tends to deteriorate, makes the water heaters work harder because that hardness coats.
And it's harder on the appliances.
Much harder on the appliances, harder on your skin, harder on the clothing. Hence hardness.
Okay. So then you would add softeners?
You would install a water softener. Water softener is an absolutely wonderful water treatment device. It removes the hardness as calcium carbonate and magnesium carbonate from the water in our area, as opposed to other areas of the country. Our area, including the Northeast United States, water softeners actually take care of quite a bit of iron in the water. Versus other parts of the country. No one can thoroughly explain that. But water softeners take care of a variety of problems. Absolutely.
Well, we're approaching the end, believe it or not. That went quickly. And I want to ask if you would please come back next week, because there's so much on this fabulous topic we have not covered.
I would be happy to come back anytime you'd like.
Okay, great. We'll see you next week. Pat, before we close, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, this home is completely remodeled. It's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home located at 17 James Street in Pittston for $139,000. This home is perfect for you if you're thinking about building but don't want to spend a fortune and drill a well. This home has been done over from top to bottom. It has a new tankless water heater. It's been insulated, has a new heating system, new siding, new plumbing, new kitchen and baths, new windows. The list goes on and on. It's got a big deck in the back, and it's really a nice house. So if you want to see 17 James Avenue in Pittston, a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home, give us a call. And it's $139,000, and it's listed by Sarah Weiss of our office.
Today with us was Doug Ide from Willis Ide and Son Water System Contractors out of Dallas, Pennsylvania. Doug, before I close, would you like to give me your contact information, please?
Our phone number is 570-675-8212, and our website is willisideandson.com.
Thank you so much. Before we close, my tip today is design small rooms to multitask. If your house is too small to meet all of your needs, gear spaces for double duty. A daybed anchors a den or office by mimicking the look of a trendy, extra deep designer sofa and scores space for guests to sleep. Look for a daybed with a solid back for all day lounging support. Cap off the ends with a pair of bolster pillows to imitate the rolled arms of a sofa. Two small tables work together as a larger coffee table, but move aside easily to give guests more space. And that's from Better Homes and Gardens. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. During the week,
feel free to email us with any questions at questions@jready.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com, where you can also listen to archive radio shows. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. And remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.